time has come. Execute Order 66.
Yes, my lord.
Oh, Zeri boy! I think it's time for She-Ra.
For the honor of Grayskull!
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 66th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the 66th Masters of the Universe franchise is TFG and Mike. Hello.
Stormtroopers, run!
Yep, be aware. Be aware. So are you ready to get further into the Mists of Etheria, sir? We have, before this episode begins, we're down to the final 8 episodes of Season 1. So we have...
Yeah.
3 here, 3 next episode, and then 2 after that, and we will be done with Season 1. So are you ready?
Yeah, it feels like we've been doing this forever.
I know
He-Man took forever because, you know, shit was going on back then, but it just feels like She-Ra Season 1 has taken forever. And we've only been doing this since the 30th anniversary last year. We started this last year, right? Yeah, it's like...
We've been hitting the metal. I mean, we put pedal to the metal and all that jazz or whatever the saying is. I mean, it does feel like it's a long road. No matter how fast we've been going, it's a long, long road.
Why do I have Methods of Mayhem's crash in my head?
Oh. I never know why anything's in your head, so don't ask me those questions. But in this episode of Mists of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on episode 58, Black Snow... Episode 59, Anchors Aloft Part 1, and yes, episode 60, Anchors Aloft Part 2, our one and only two-part episode. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Etheria.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Yellow Snow.
So quickly. What's all this about, Froster? Come, I will show you.
Greetings, Empress. The view crystal is prepared as you ordered.
Thank you, Captain Braun. She-Ra, this is Captain Braun, leader of my warriors. Captain, gaze into the crystal, and you will see the problem. The snow! It's black! That is Galatia, land of the Selkies. Black snow fell there for 3 days, ruining the crops and causing the animals to grow sick.
The Selkies blame this on us, but if you ask me, it's only a trick. They just want an excuse to start a war.
We have no proof of that, Captain Braun.
They didn't need proof to accuse us.
Enough! If we are to avoid war, we must keep our tempers under control.
Forgive me, Empress.
Why should the Selkies think you did this, Frosta?
We and the Selkies were enemies for many years.
We made a truce when the Horde came, but I fear there is still much mistrust between our kingdoms. And the Black Snow did not fall here.
I bet this is Horde work.
I agree, but the Silkies will need proof that my people are not to blame.
And I'll help you get it.
Yellow snow, brown snow, black snow, who knows? What is this black snow? Worst title for a show ever.
I like it. It's like Purple Rain turns into black snow or something like that. Anyways, episode 58, Black Snow, air date of Tuesday, November 26th, 1985, written by Larry DiTillio. Black snow has fallen on Glacia, land of the Selkies. Does anybody even know what cartoon we're talking about with that intro? It's all these weird foreign words here. It could be anything. I want to read this all again here because it's a lot of different names. Black snow has fallen on Glacia, land of the Selkies, who blame Frosta and seek war with the Snow Kingdom. Frosta and She-Ra set out to uncover the truth behind the bad weather. So we have a Frosta-centric episode all about this black snow and the feud between Frosta, snow people, and the Selkies. What did you think about the setup for this Frosta episode?
I like it. I think it's cool. I think, you know, you've been, you know, saying for the last 65, well, since episode 46 or episode 48, you know, of the show, when are we going to see more Frosta? When are we going to see, and this is, the whole episode's all about her and her kingdom fighting some other Narwhalian kingdom. Who knows? Maybe are there badgers on the walls over there? Who knows? Huh? It's one of those things where I thought this was cool. I thought this was great that we finally get to see Frosta in more than just, oh, hey, I'm going to make it snow for you kids so you can slide down the mountain.
Right.
You know. Or that one time she showed up at, what's her nuts's castle? The other one.
I don't think she had nuts, but.
She
created the snow wall, the ice wall.
This episode is better than her original appearance of, oh, hey, I'm just going to make snow so you can slide down the mountain. And then the other appearance she had was the when she showed up at when she was leaving Casta Spellas. Remember? When she was like, oh, hey, yeah, bye. It's like, what the hell, Frosta? But yeah, no, I thought this was cool. I thought it was great. It's, as I'm watching this, I'm realizing it's your standard 80s lesson episode about, you know, being able to listen to other people and allowing people to be heard and that kind of thing, and not going to war over stupid stuff like black snow. And what I find interesting is in these three episodes today that we have a Bo impersonator in this episode. And then there's no Bo at all, no rebellion at all in any of the other two.
Right. Yeah, in this one we have Hordak, Imp, Modulok, and Multibot. And then we have She-Ra, Frosta, and Swiftwind, with the guest characters being King Narwhal, like you talked about, Captain Braun, West, and some Selkie people and some Snow people. But yeah, not a lot of rebellion going to be featured in today's episode. So Modulok,
Like I said, Captain Braun is essentially Bo. I mean, really.
He's not as feminine.
Well, no, but it's Bo's voice actor. Yeah. It's the Bo voice, so it's essentially Bo.
Yeah.
But yeah. What about you? What did you think overall?
I mean, if you're telling me that we're going to get a plot or a story that's going to kind of get more into Frosta and what she is about, I'd be all about that. So, I mean, on the surface level, it works. I guess I didn't really realize that there was going to be more. I didn't realize Frosta kind of had her own people and her own kingdom. I just kind of always thought she was just a friend of everybody else and kind of part of the rebellion with some different powers. But I like seeing this other side where we get to actually see where she comes from, who her people are, who they're kind of a little bit of a history lesson for, you know, these groups that are feuding over the years and stuff like that. So I like the plot for this one. I'm on board.
Yeah, I am too.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll see what stood out either way for this episode, good and bad.
He'll keep the rest of the pack from attacking until I can cure them too.
Oh, good. I do not like fighting innocent creatures. And when we find the ones responsible for this wicked snow, they will answer to me.
Thrasta and She-Ra. I compute that this means trouble. I must inform Modulark immediately. Multivac, calling Modulark.
All right, for the first time today, we find ourselves in Whispering Woods to talk about the good things about Black Snow. Is there any good thing about Black Snow if you come across it, Mike?
Just don't eat it. It's not good for you.
It's not good for you. But what did you like most about the Black Snow?
All frost all the time. That's some cold, hard slag.
Are you crossing genres and...
Right. Of course, you always got to cross the streams.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, no, like I said a minute ago, I love the fact that we have an all Frosta episode, that it's just Frosta and She-Ra. Sure, I'd love to be able to see some of the other Rebellion members, but I think it's a good thing that they weren't here, because it would take away from spotlighting on Frosta, her people, and because the whole point is, you know, for the show at this point for us is, what other worlds or what other areas of the world of Etheria are you going to show us? And that's what they're doing here. And I really did like that. I completely forgot Multibot worked for Modulok, but I was like, hey, Multibot. At first I was like, wait, too bad? No, that's not too bad.
Right.
Modulok and Shearer's exchanges are just great. They're just hilarious.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of comedy in this episode, for sure.
Yeah, what about you?
I mean, it's cool seeing, like I said, Frosta's people, her army. They even call her Empress, which I thought was something I'd never really considered before. And I like that there's this feud between her and the Silkies, or her, the Snow People and the Silkies. Kind of adds another layer of history and another element to it. I thought the character designs in this episode are just great overall. The Howler, the animals at the beginning... Yeah. Even the Silkies, even though they're kind of like a weird, you know, whatever they were supposed to be, I liked the overall designs on everything. And I didn't realize not only that Multibot worked for Modulok, but that Modulok created Multibot.
Yeah, I didn't.
I either forgot that or never knew that, or it's been so many episodes that I've just had stuff slip through the cracks. But yeah, Modulok created Multibot, so. Thought that was interesting. But, I mean, overall, a decent episode, but there's not a lot I can list here because there wasn't, like, wow moments.
I mean, the wow moments were pretty much, like I said...
I mean, we finally got close-ups of Frosta. I mean,
the wow moments were pretty much Frosta's character development and, you know, developing her story arc as far as her having a kingdom and all that. The other moments I could really point out, honestly, is... Anytime Multibot talked, really, or anytime he was doing something,
or when he gets broken into pieces,
that's exactly
style.
Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, that's about it as far as the stuff that stood out for me. What about any moments that didn't work for you in this episode?
Yeah, there's only two, but I wrote the first one down before the final bits of the episode.
Okay.
They start this off. And I could be wrong. You can correct me. I don't remember. Shut up. From the beginning to about the midway point when something crashes into the Fright Zone. She throws the weather machine in there. She does something. I forget what She-Ra does, but we end up seeing Hordak, because I wasn't sure if we were going to see Hordak. So from the beginning of the episode to that point, had they ever said that Modulok was still working for Hordak before we saw Hordak? Because before this, the first 15 minutes of the episode, I was led to believe that Modulok and Multibot were on their own, not working for the Hordak.
Oh, no, that's exactly what I got the same feeling. I kind of thought the same thing, like we talked about, like one of those characters that kind of is bad, but maybe on his own somewhat.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Because the last we knew, I mean... Modulok got promoted back from Horde Cook to Horde Scientist, but now it's like, oh, hey, yeah, no, he, whatever. Another thing I had was, it's just a standard note. Again, episode, like I said earlier, the message of listening before acting and that kind of stuff, it's just your standard. And I don't mean that to say it's bad. I just feel that this episode, like we said a second ago, there's nothing here that made us stand up and cheer or write a note on our notes with like 20 million exclamation points after, you know, it's a very average episode, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to fall slightly above average, I guess, but I agree with what you say that, you know, there's really nothing to write exclamation points on from a negative or a positive standpoint for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally only have one negative note, and it's not really a negative note. It's just because we've been keeping track, but a new one, sword to magnet and line.
I missed it.
Sword to magnet.
I must have missed that.
Another one of those classic sword moments, but there's really nothing that stood out that I disliked. That's why I'm going to fall on a little bit more on the positive side of average. Even though there wasn't stuff that stood out, there wasn't anything that angered me. So, not that we're giving away our ratings too much, but we'll be right back with our official ratings. And
Don't you want to mention the?
Oh, I'm sorry, the PSA.
Don't you want to mention the Scott and T-Bob like PSA?
Precautions to getting sick, the wear your coat PSA. The remember every time your mom told you to wear your coat, now you got your cartoon characters telling you to wear your coat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You know, I keep looking at Lukey, and recently, well, by the time this airs, I might still be doing it, I don't know. This year, as we've been producing the show, as we're going along, I went back, and this is all TV's Mr. Neal's fault. I went and found on YouTube the whole score to Sonic 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a watch through of Sonic 2 and of the whole game. And I watched through the whole game, and I'm like, and I'm today, when I was watching this episode, I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at Lukey. I'm like, holy crap, he's a multicolored tie dye version of Tails from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh,
obviously, Sonic came after.
Right.
Lukey, but still.
Interesting. I'll have to look at our side by side of those guys. All right. Yeah. So wear your coat, guys, and put it on because it's going to get cold, I guess. But we're going to give our first set of hardware out as well as our ratings for the black snow. You got to wear your coat in the black snow.
It ain't no chocolate chip snow.
Or yellow snow.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot of ground, but we've still got nothing to show for it.
There must be a clue to what has caused this strange weather.
She-Ra and Frosta are right below us. Activate the blizzard beam.
What in the world?
It's a blizzard, but it seems to have come from out of nowhere.
Frosta, where are you? I can't see you.
My instant blizzard has blinded them. Now to snatch Frosta up with a little whirlwind.
All right, Mike, I know you're chomping at the bit. Your first opportunity to give out any hardware. Do you have any protection swords or horde bats?
On further reflection and looking back at it, I have to give a horde bat to Captain Bo. I mean, Captain Braun. It's like...
All right, too much like Bo for you, huh?
I know that most of the voice actors back in the day, each voice actor was only allotted three voice roles or three characters in one show or one episode or whatever else. And I am sorry...
Unless your name is Lou Shiner.
Well, yeah. Well, I honestly would have rather have had an Orko-sounding voice for Captain Braun than Bo's voice. I mean, really. Because all I kept thinking was, oh, it's just Bo being Bo again. protection sword. I'll give a protection sword to Frosta and She-Ra because I enjoyed both of them in this episode. And I will also give a protection sword to the misadventures of Multibot because he was hilarious.
All right, so you are quickly rummaging through the remains of your Season 1 hardware as you run very close to being out of protection swords with 8 episodes left. I'm just kidding. I will give one more out to Frosta as well. I completely agree. I did like Multibot, but Frosta's the only one getting any hardware from me in this episode. And like I said, nothing stood out, so I'm not going to give anybody a horde bat. What about Crystal Castles? How many do we have for this episode?
3.5.
Wow. We start in agreement. I'm also at 3.5. So
I mean, I was going to give it a 3, but since we talked it up a little bit and I talked about Multibot a little bit, I gave it a half point just because of Multibot, honestly, because of the comedy with him.
Yeah, and like I said, it's an average episode, but it's just slightly to the positive side because there was nothing really that pissed me off. So I got to give that some kind of credit for not pissing me off. It's a feat. Not many people are capable of it. So 3.5 in agreement from both of us for Black Snow. Apparently it's not as bad as it sounds. So I'm
going to take the internet is going to explode now.
Pretty much. So we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we start the first of our only 2-part episode, Anchors Aloft.
A good crew, Captain Seahawk.
Aye, the finest tars ever to sail the Stratos, Adora.
And with the finest captain.
Oh, no, Adora. The finest captain in the world vanished 20 years ago. You remember him, Sven?
Aye, Captain, the Falcon. I was part of his crew for many years. A great man and a great pirate. He had some wonderful magic weapons, but his greatest strength was in his heart. He was a good man.
Did you know him, Hawk?
No. He vanished when I was very young. But I wish I had. He, was my father.
Oh.
A great man. He'd capture the Horde tax galleons and give the money back to the poor.
And as a result, he was poorer than anyone. Well, I've learned better than that. Look. Gold. The result of years of plunder. I'm a pirate to take gold. Not to give it away.
Sure you are, Hawk. Then why are you delivering rebel supplies for free?
I'll help the rebellion because I hate the Horde. But if I see a chance for plunder on this trip, I'll take it.
Captain, look! A Horde tax galleon!
Give me that glass. Right you are, Sven. A fat Horde treasure galleon. And from the looks of her, she's loaded to the gunwales with gold.
Next up today is episode 59, Anchors Aloft, part 1. And for our purposes today, we're actually going to talk about both of them simultaneously rather than kind of reiterate a lot of the same things since they're basically the same characters, same storyline, etc. So 59, part 1 aired Wednesday, November 27th, 1985. Part 2 aired the next day, Thursday, November 28th, 1985. They're both written, obviously, by the same person, Bob Forward. I guess not obviously, sometimes we do see that split up, but the same author on both parts of this. So Seahawk flies right into Admiral Scurvy's trap and goes down with his ship, having made sure Adora and his men are safely away. Hawk awakens on a mysterious island that harbors a very special treasure. That's one of the worst plot synopses I've ever read. Anyway, and then, of course, Admiral Scurvy has captured Adora and takes her to the Fright Zone. Seahawk is reunited with his crew of sailors and asks Sven to restore the Falcon's old clipper to use as their new ship. That's a bunch of hogwash. But anyways.
Yeah, where did you get these plot synopses?
This one's terrible, but basically here's how we do it. All right, we're reunited with Seahawk, Sven, and the crew. All right, we've seen them multiple times so far, recurring character, and this time we're going to get a little bit more into the backstory of Seahawk. So and by the way, we're going to do that is we're going to introduce this Admiral Scurvy character, who is a Horde not really, I don't feel like he's an actual Horde member.
He's not a Horde member. I would say he's more like a Horde contractor.
Yeah. He's like a contractor for the Horde. So anyways, so he's kind of like the prototypical pirate to kind of counteract Seahawk. So obviously he's going to be trying to capture Dora, do different things, etc. But the main gist of this plot is that Seahawk is going to be confronted with his past, and we're going to learn some more about his father and some things like that. So it's wrapped up in a two-part story, but that's the main purpose of this whole two-parter, is to see more about Seahawk, where he comes from, and kind of where he gets his traits, etc. So we have some Horde captains, which are different than Horde troopers because they have a little different get-up. We obviously have Mr. Scurvy, Admiral Scurvy, and his cat Squall. And then we just have She-Ra and Seahawk, his mate, Swen, somebody called Falcon, and, of course, Davy Jones. Did not look like I thought he was going to look. So, sir, what did you think about a two-part episode getting into the backstory of the Seahawk?
I like that it got into the backstory of Seahawk. I had a note later, but I'll bring it up here. It felt like, and again, I know this came before what I'm going to reference, but the whole time I'm watching this two-parter, I felt like I was watching Aladdin and the King of Thieves. Because it really felt like the whole story of, the son who is slightly questionable, and he's a pirate, but he has morals, but his morals can skew either way, and then the long-lost father thing, and I'm like, oh my god.
Where's... Luke, I am your father.
Yeah, there is that too.
There was that hardcore, as we continue to try to make more Star Wars references in He-Man and She-Ra than I ever realized existed.
They essentially took its twin children, and Skeletor is essentially Darth Vader, and Hordak is the Emperor. Even though Hordak sucks and Darth Vader killed him, or Skeletor did in that video, the Wars. So yeah,
but I mean, there is definitely lots of, I mean, we've talked about the lightsabers and things like that have shown up, and now we have an actual, like, I'm your father line in one of the episodes, so kind of crazy there. But I like the idea of seeing more of Seahawk. I don't know if you were going to tell me we're going to have a two-part episode in Princess of Power, and it's not going to be about any of the rebels, it's not going to be about any of the Horde members, it's going to be about this recurring side character. I would have been like, that seems weird. But
how many do you remember off the top of your head, how many we had in He-Man?
No, absolutely not. I would have to look in my notes and stuff like that for that. But it's just kind of a weird choice for a two-part episode. But I'm all for seeing some more backstory of people. We got a little backstory for Frosta. Now let's get some backstory for a random character. But
Seahawk really isn't random. I mean
not random, but
the whole series.
But you kind of know what I mean. It's not like one of the things. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm going to kind of get into it a little bit without getting into the actual moments, but I'm interested to see what your take is on this one, because I was a little underwhelmed by this as a two-part episode.
Mm.
Like, we got a two-part episode, we have recurring characters, we have Bob Forward, and I just felt like I wanted something more than what we got.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like Bob, you know, I've never talked to the guy, I wish we could, but I mean, it just doesn't seem like his early work, his early writing, is as good as some of his later stuff. Like, anything he did in, you know, Beast Wars or Beast Machines or whatever, it's a hell of a lot better than some of the stuff he's done here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if it was just because the bad guy didn't really work for me, or if it was just because we didn't get any huge revelations outside of a little more information on Seahawk. We don't have any Horde members. We don't have any Rebellion. So I'm just like, I just wanted something a little bit more if we're going to get 45 minutes worth of episode. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. But we'll save the specifics for right after the break as we get into the Whispering Woods and the Fright Zone moments for both Part 1 and Part 2 next.
Before we get there, we do have... Go back to Tales of Eternia. Go back to Powers of Grayskull, Episode 21, folks. The House of Shabubu, Parts 1 and 2, or House of Shakoti was the only... Looking at the schedule for us, House of Shakoti, Parts 1 and 2, were the only two-parter in He-Man. And I'll say this right now, I wish they would have made more two-parters, honestly.
Yeah, there wasn't a big thing back then.
In both series, not just He-Man, but in both series.
Right. Because in a series like this that really isn't about continuity that much. It's more episodic. The place that you are able to get some continuity and some longer storytelling is through the two-parters, the three-parters, mm-hmm. etc. So it would have been fun, but it just really wasn't a thing back then on these series. So, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. Whispering Woods is calling. Nobody's answering.
We're answering.
No, we're not.
We'll be there shortly, Woods.
That's not a tiger joke, is it?
No.
Is he still relevant?
No, he's never been relevant.
There he goes, Admiral Skirmy, the meanest shark in the 12 Aetherian seas.
And taking Adora with him. Yeah, if only Seahawk were here.
Well, he's not. Your precious Seahawk is at the bottom of the ocean, blown out of the sky by Admiral Skirmy.
You cowardly tin cans. You'd be sitting on the scrap heap if the hawk were still alive.
Shut your mouth, sea dog, or I'll shut it for you.
Hey, pretty Fred, you pitiful piece of plumbing. Hitting a helpless man in chains takes a lot of noise. Think you're brave enough to take on a mouse now? Come on, I dare ya.
You insolent rodent.
Pretty poor shot, robot. If you fight as well as you shoot, maybe you better bring some friends.
I'll show you.
All right, we find ourselves in Whispering Woods for this two-parter. What did you like best about part one and part two, the whole kit and caboodle?
I like that, you know, cool that Seahawk is back. I hope people, when they saw this episode, got this vibe, because as soon as I saw Skirmy, I'm like, hey, it's Dr. Claw as a pirate. I mean, I know technically they're probably homaging Blofeld from Bond with the cat thing, or, you know, obviously Dr. Evil hadn't come around yet, but I swear, as soon as I saw Skirmy with the cat, I'm like, damn, Dr. Claw is a pirate. What the hell? it's a pirate's life for us. Yay. One thing I noticed about this, and you'll be happy about this, but I was kind of almost missing it. Every single emotional ending scene that seemed like it went to a commercial, I expected characters to have that one thing that you absolutely hate, and there were none. There are no single tears anybody. I was half... You know, these people, these animators love that stuff back then, and I was half expecting every time that happened to have a single tear effect.
Bullshit.
I thought the cliffhanger between the two-parter was nice. It's like,
yeah.
Yes, I am your father.
Luke. They should have just named him Luke. That's the Seahawks' real name. Maybe it is Luke.
For part two, the only thing I wrote down was I do love Seahawks' character growth. And then, hey, look, a Tom and Jerry episode in She-Ra.
Yeah, that goes right into mine, one of mine, because I thought Davy Jones was great. I thought he was great as a character, and the fact that he was being a smartass was kind of something we haven't really got too much of in the series. I mean, we get comedic bits and funny people and characters that provide humor, but we don't really get a lot of smartass, like sarcastic remarks. So I did like that about him, and I thought Erica Shimer was good as Davy Jones. I thought it was like one of the best characters she's done that just seemed like a natural voice for her. So right. I like that. I liked that... I like the voice work on Skirmy too, even if I'm not really sold on him as a character overall. And I thought there was some interesting predicaments they got themselves into. For example, Seahawk goes back after Adora. Mm. After She-Ra has saved everything and they're all safe. And he's like, well, we can't leave Adora. So he goes back for her. And then it leaves She-Ra in a position where she's like, well, shit, what? How do I do this? I got to go back somehow and be Adora so he can find me. So I thought that was interesting. I have the Luke, I am your father part. And my last moment as far as Whispering Woods, I thought it was an interesting twist in the second part of it where a character comes in and kind of basically melees all the horde troopers and just kind of takes care of business, and it's depicted in a way that it looks like the Falcon, and it's not, and I was not expecting that twist.
I thought that was cool. I thought that was a cool way to bring back Seahawk to the characters in the moment in the story. I thought that was really cool. The other thing was, I just lost it.
That's all right. You'll find it.
Taking my father's ship and everything else. No, you must use this seashell. You must blow on the seashell to open the door. Like I said, before, it's like... with Davy Jones, you're right. I do like that. But at the same time, I look at it and I'm like, Davy Jones, really? I'm just waiting for a locker joke at this point.
You do not like the small diminutive characters, do you?
No, it's fine. I like him. He's cool. I'm just saying the fact that they had to name him.
Oh, yeah.
Davy Jones, just waiting for a locker joke.
Yeah, I get that for sure. As far as Fright Zone moments, I don't have very much. We had another sword to harpoon this time. And yeah. There's some bad writing as far as the lines or the dialogue. At one point, Scurvy in part two is just like, Seahawks gonna win this. And that makes me mad. It's just like,
yeah.
What? That's the best you can come up with. But nothing that really pissed me off. The only thing that somewhat minorly irritated me about this, like I said before, is that this is the two-parter we get.
Yeah.
And I want something more.
Yeah, the one thing I wrote down for part two specifically is it just me or is this villain just really boring? I mean, yeah. This guy, he doesn't do... Okay, at the beginning when they get the new ship in part two, when they get the father's ship and have the solar sails and they have the cannons on it and everything else. Yeah, in the beginning, Scurvy's ship is basically outgunning them and nearly destroying them, but after that, it's like he's just another bumbling idiot of the Horde.
I think that's what my problem was. I just found him as a boring character overall. I wish they would have done a two-parter with General Sunder or what was the other guy's name? Blast or something like that. Like, we had a couple cool, somewhat Horde-like villains a little bit ago. Like, was Sunder the one that turned good?
Yeah.
Let's have a two-parter on him if it's going to be someone that's not in the Rebellion or not in the Horde.
What was the PSA for part one?
For part one, we have two PSAs. So the first part is about friends. Friendship being better than money, I guess, is the gist of it. Like, about gold and searching for treasure, and maybe it's trying to relate to different things. I don't know, but it's about friendship meaning more, and something like the whole "you can't take that with you" type PSA.
And then part two was the winners never cheat.
Cheaters never win. Yeah, cheating's no good. Don't take shortcuts. And winners never cheat.
Yeah.
So what did you think about the PSAs overall? That's about my thoughts. Exactly.
I'm kind of over.
You're over 80s PSAs.
Yeah, I'm really
kind of... There will be no podcast on the Geekcast Radio Network that it's strictly about PSAs, guys.
No, not at all. Maybe one episode.
One episode that highlights all the different characters that give it to us.
Maybe one episode of Geekcast Radio, the flagship podcast, we can spend 30 minutes just going through every single PSA and ripping it to shreds. But don't get me wrong. I understand why they were there. I get that. It was the 80s. They needed that in order to get some of these cartoons on the air. That's all well, fine, and good. But maybe it's us as adults looking back and just shaking our heads because some of this stuff our parents had already taught us or we were learning it as we were watching these shows, maybe. I don't know. It's just 80s PSAs are just, I don't know.
All right. Well, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to give a double dose of Havoc Staffs. No, just kidding. Bats and Protection Swords. I want to give a Havoc Staff. Can we get another crossover with Skeletor and some cool characters? A double dose of Horde Bats, Protection Swords, and Crystal Castles coming up right after the break.
Hard about! Hard about! Pile on the sail! Get us out of here! Better get to safety, Adora! Adora?
Looks like we'd better call for help, Spirit.
For the honor of Greystone!
Sea-Hawk, Sea-Hawk. Sea-Hawk.
All right, it's a double dose of hardware to give out on this episode. And even though there's a double dose, I'm not giving much. It may sound weird, but I really don't have much to give out on this one at all because it just is kind of there. It's mm-hmm. I mean, I maybe could stretch and get one to see Hawk and Falcon, but maybe Davy Jones for being a smartass, but none of them just really tipped the scales and went overboard to make me want to give out anything. So what about you?
Yeah, no, not at all.
All right. I mean,
none of them.
A two-part episode and we can't even give out one protection sword. That is a testament to how disappointing this episode is, even though it's not a bad episode. It's not bad. It just could have been way better. What do you give this one? Let's give a series of ratings. What do you give part one, part two, and then overall? Is that too much numbers for you?
No, it's not too much, but they're the same rating for both.
Oh, okay. What do you give it?
Both get a 2.5. I mean, I love the character growth for Seahawk. I love the snarkiness of Davy Jones. But the story and the villain and there was no high stakes. They didn't, you know, they made it sound like, oh my God, he's dead. And then, hey, you know, here comes his dad. But it didn't feel like, okay. And again, we all know that He-Man ripped off Star Wars, but it did not feel like, Luke, I am your father. No! It did not feel like that at all. It just felt like it was the Fievel the American Tale has more emotional impact than this two-parter.
I don't know where you came up with Fievel, but I like
it. Because he's a mouse and Davy was a mouse? Okay, on now.
I agree with you 100%, and that's weird to say. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, man, it's the story's not good enough. The villain's not good enough. There's not enough anything besides a cool couple characters on the good side, and I do like seeing that, you know, Seahawk has a father. I mean, we know he has a father, but you know that there's some things there and some past and whatever. Like, I guess that's kind of cool, but you gotta hook me to make me interested in that in the first place, and I'm just not. Like, yeah. I like other parts of Seahawk better. I like it more when he's helping with other things. I don't know, it just disappointed.
We didn't even really talk about the other big elephant in the room.
There was no elephants in this episode.
Yeah, there was.
I saw no elephants.
The love affair between Adora and Seahawk gets cemented in this episode because he kisses her twice.
Yeah, getting it off.
So, you know, we're going to have little She-Ra Hawks later. Bow. Yeah.
No, it's Adora. It's not She-Ra. So it's going to be Adora Hawks.
He's going to have to find out eventually.
But if you mate with her while she's Adora, you have different kids than if you mate with her when she's So anyways, I'm right with you here. I'm going to give a 3 out of 5 for both episodes, just slightly above you, only I guess because it's a two-parter and we get some backstory and I like Davy Jones, but it's not a good episode. It's not a bad episode. It's just kind of disappointing overall.
Yeah,
it's probably the highest score I'd ever give an episode that I'm qualifying as disappointing. So that's it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll give you our thoughts on the Mists of Etheria so far and preview 3 of the final 5 episodes in Season 1.
In the previous episode, the Seahawk ship was destroyed by the evil Horde Admiral Scurvy. Believing the Seahawk to be dead, Scurvy imprisons Adora and the Hawk's crew. But the Seahawk is not dead. He has been led to a secret cavern beneath the island where he discovers his long-lost father, the legendary Falcon. Now we continue with part 2 of Anchors Aloft.
Fine catch, eh, Trooper?
Yes, Admiral.
Is Adora's horse aboard the Dreadnought?
Yes, Admiral, in the brig. But that doesn't leave much room for other prisoners.
No matter. I have no wish to fill my ship with these pirate scum. We'll send a prison ship to pick them up later. But now, the sea may have taken the Seahawk, but I have Adora, leader of the rebellion, as my prisoner.
Thank you for calling Fee Harmony, the service that matches you with the podcast that best fits your interests and needs.
I really hope you could help me because I have had no luck finding the perfect movie podcast that gives me everything that I want.
Well, that's my job. What are you looking for in a podcast?
Well, it needs to be a movie podcast that covers old and new stuff, one that reviews movies but also talks about movie news, discusses new trailers, and is willing just to have fun with some crazy movie games. Maybe even, you know, like the occasional top 10 countdown. Oh, and it's got to be a podcast that is willing at times to delve deep into the careers of notable directors and speak to all movie fans, from the general audience to the hardcore cinephile.
Wow, well, that's quite a resume you're looking for. What do you think you're regarding schedule? Monthly, weekly, daily?
Weekly, of course.
All right, well, let me crunch these numbers in our patented podcast matrix. Let's see what I can find for you. Wow, I don't believe it.
What is it?
We actually found the perfect match. This almost never happens.
Really? Well, dreams do come true. What is it?
It is the Cinema Geeks podcast, of course.
Well, that sounds perfect, but where can I hook up with such an awesome podcast?
Well, you can find it weekly on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastReader.com.
Awesome. Podcast marathon, here I come.
Another satisfied customer brought to you by P Harmony and the folks over at the Cinema Geeks podcast.
All right, we are back here on Myths of Etheria, Order 66, or Episode 66, whatever you want to call it. There's no Emperor here, sadly. It might have made the episode actually better if there was an Emperor here.
There was an Empress in Episode 1 of today. We had an Empress. Wait. Frosta.
Oh!
But no Emperor.
Yeah, she was an empress, but she wasn't very childlike, so there is no next chapter for that never-ending story.
That's weird,
story.
Because I literally was just watching that the other day. that girl ended up doing nothing ever again.
Really?
Yeah, she was like a foreign, I can't remember which European country she was from or something, but yeah, that's all she ever did, really. She just now started getting back into things like some 20 years later or whatever it was.
Wow.
Yeah.
She-Ra season 1
still have a few episodes to go. It hasn't closed out yet. We've only gone through 60 of the 65 episodes.
No, I know we got 5 episodes left, but I'm saying, like, these 5 episodes better be better than these 3 episodes.
And we were on a high. I was running high on the last couple.
Yeah, were. And then these 3 just dragged it down.
Hey, don't worry, I have a lot of hope here coming into next week's episode. You know how I said Lukey Lends a Hand was one of my most anticipated episodes?
Yeah.
Episode 61 is probably my second most anticipated episode. I can't wait to watch that one.
All right. So just to give you folks a preview of the end of season 1, we've got Dark Smoke and Fire, Magikatz, and Flowers for Hordak in the next episode, in episode 67. And episode 68, which will be our season 1 kind of recap, we'll also talk about Wild Child and the Greatest Magic. So
I'm not saying much about Wild Child and Greatest Magic, but the combination of Dark Smoke and Fire and Flowers for Hordak, I am pumped for, because
you know we have to talk about the other Flowers thing, right? Flowers for Algernon, because that's all I can think of.
Well, no, but the reason I'm bringing that up is because there was a specific toy character that I remember being a choice for you to buy that we haven't seen yet, and if she doesn't show up in Flowers for Hordak, I would be surprised, because that is what she's all about. And we're going to have a return. I've seen some of the bits and pieces when I did my script, and I don't know if you've seen it or not. I hope you haven't, but we're going to see the return of a character we've seen before that I can't wait to get your reaction on.
Well, I mean, it's Dark Smoke and Fire. How can Granomir not be there? I mean, I don't even need to see anything. You say Dark Smoke, you know it's Granomir.
Can't wait to see that one.
Yeah. thank you for listening to Myths of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, which is all new. You can check out our all-new format, all-new new site design, all that stuff done by Steve Megatron. Comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Send us email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. @GeekCastRadio is the network Twitter. The show Twitter is @PowOfGrayskull. Mine is TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter?
My Twitter is @OptimusSolo. Tweet me. I'll respond. I promise.
Be careful. Sometimes he forgets and responds from @CinemaGeekCast.
Yeah, I get them all confused.
Yeah, he does. He's blonde. What do you expect? We hope you enjoyed the myths today, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure where we will take a look at the next three episodes, which I already mentioned: Dark Smoke and Fire, Magic Cats. Is that kind of like Aristocats?
I'm hoping it's anyway. Magic version of the Broadway show Cats.
Okay, there you go. Magic Cats on a hot tin roof.
Bringing flowers for Algernon.
Yeah, and flowers for Algernon. That's right. Flowers for Hordak. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Optimus Solo.
By the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power. Hey, at least it'll be an episode where we can't make any Star Wars references.
Don't say that yet. I haven't watched the episode.
I'll see you next time.